Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Live from the Jamie McCrimmon Memorial Pantopticon STD Clinic, we present a wheezing, groaning sound, which I am fairly positive is the only Doctor Who podcast that's ever been made. My name is John Rain, and joining me are Space Captain Tom Neenan and former Space Captain Paul Litchfield. The reason why will become clear as we progress. So take my hand while I lead you through the matrix and feed you the red pill of plastic crocodiles and sped up trains. We will meet the deadly assassin.
Ooh.
Because there is no other kind of assassin.
No, there's not. There's, you've never met a charity assassin, have you?
No.
And here's a bullet which I'm going to donate to you. Oh, okay. No.
Oh, I meant to say earlier, I'm really annoyed that I didn't, but I'm going to say it now.
Okay.
That in The Time Warrior,
yeah,
that is Doc Cotton. Is she in Dimensions in Time?
Oh, I don't know.
I'd like to know.
Yeah, let's have a look.
Someone can... Oh, well, Tom could do it now.
Yeah. Because if she is...
Come on, Statman.
That means that Doc Cotton is playing the same part.
So Doc Cotton, does she eventually settle in Albert Square, and that's why she becomes that way, just because all the things she's seen and witnessed?
Possibly.
Settles onto Earth to become a penny-pinching Bible basher.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Oh, Mark, that's true.
But actually becomes a confidant for many people, doesn't she? She's the one who eventually smothers Ethel. I mean...
yeah.
I don't believe so.
Oh, never mind.
No.
Well, it's weird, isn't it? Because obviously EastEnders turns up in Army of Ghosts.
Yes.
So is EastEnders real or not in Doctor Who world? We'll never know.
Yeah. But anyway, this episode...
Mm-hmm.
Actually, let's go to Paul. Let's find out what was on telly.
Okay, well, Deadly Assassin came on TV on the 30th of October 1976 at the rather respectable time of 6:05.
I did exist.
Sorry?
I did exist. I was in my mum.
Oh, so you exist at this point. Oh,
yeah, I was born the following June, so I was existing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
To what extent do you think this influenced your personality in utero?
Greatly.
Yeah.
Wait, no, I'm not even going to go there.
No, don't.
Sorry, that would have been disgusting.
When you found out Goth was in there as well, I bet that was a shock.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there was, I'd love to be able to say there was something remotely interesting or funny or odd on BBC One that day, but there really wasn't. But on BBC Two, wonderful programmes on BBC Two that day. If you didn't want to watch Doctor Who, you would have been watching Vision On.
Lovely.
Lovely stuff.
And this is what it says for Vision On, which is slightly odd. It just says, it's fairly easy to play table tennis with square bats and an invisible ball, but much more difficult if the ball is square and the bats are invisible. What?
I'm not sure that's a thing.
What was Tony?
No, I don't know what that is.
Tony smoking when he came up with that one. but it does say this, which is lovely. With Tony Hart, Wilf Lunn, and Sylvester McCoy.
Wow.
So that's nice. Yeah. That's nice. And after that, you could watch The Money Programme, which has this tagline, why does Britain have to borrow?
It's a good question.
Very good question.
Genius
borrows. A little bit later on, you had a documentary called Network. Network. And it just says this, Network, Alan Evans, the Welsh King of Darts. Alan tells you of the strains you can suffer when you make your living depending on six 22 gram pieces of tungsten alloy. That's a very Partridge-y way of it.
Yeah.
So there you go. There was not much more, I'm afraid, that I could glean from 1976. Obviously, was a very good year for TV.
Yeah.
Not much to joke and take the Michael out of.
Yeah.
Well, that's disappointing.
But there you go. So there you are. So Deadly Assassin Part 1, 5 past 6 on the 30th of October 1976.
Yeah.
Well, this is an unusual episode. I'd like to know if any other Doctor Who episode has started this way with a narration.
Yes. Yeah. I just wrote it. It starts like an audiobook.
Yeah, he says,
yes.
Through the millennia, the Time Lords of Gallifrey led a life of peace and ordered calm, protected against all threats from lesser civilizations by their great power. But this was to change. Suddenly and terribly, the Time Lords faced the most dangerous crisis in their long history.
It's almost like let's make a film.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're introducing people to Doctor Who via a movie.
Now, this is unusual as well, because the Doctor has literally just got rid of his assistant.
Yeah, just ditched her.
So he's on his own.
Yeah.
And he's wandering around his wood-panelled TARDIS. What do we think about that?
I really like it.
Do you?
I quite like it as well.
I quite like his sauna TARDIS.
I'm not fond.
Do you? It reminds me of the Master's interior TARDIS, so it's always a bit like, ooh, it's a bit dark.
I like it when the TARDIS is bright white.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I quite like it.
Yeah. But he's walking around, minding his own business.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. When suddenly... He has a vision.
Well, basically, he has a trip, doesn't he? He has like a drug flashback.
Yeah.
And all the
bad thing.
Yeah. All the Time Lords are grabbing at him.
Yeah.
It's like, I see what it's like. It's like the video for Smack My Bitch Up. Yes. And at the end, the Doctor's like, the Doctor was a woman the whole time.
Yeah.
It's very impressive.
So I'm just imagining Tom Baker doing Smack My Bitch Up now. Smack My Bitch Up. Boom. Just naked, but a giant scarf.
Yeah.
Smack My Bitch Up. Ooh.
It's not too late. He would definitely do it. If you've got a spare grand, he would do that for you, 100%.
Would you like a jolly baby? But it's also a bit like it's been directed by Ken Russell, this sequence, because you get this giant zoom in on his weird eyes bulging, and then all these weird old men grabbing at him.
I know,
a little dwarf with tits to come running.
Suddenly becomes like a David Lynch joint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very odd. Terrifying. And his bulging eyes is like someone put a wig on a cocker spaniel and went...
he suddenly has a vision of the president of the Time Lords being assassinated by himself.
Oh no!
No, you can't do that.
No,
what's happening?
So he must head immediately to Gallifrey.
Yeah. Mm.
And he materialises. So Paul will be happy about that. You see the TARDIS appear, and he stays in his TARDIS, and immediately the guards turn up with the Castellan, and the Castellan sounds like he's doing a language tape.
I was going to say, obviously, Castellan is from the slightly sort of maybe Viennese quarter of Gallifrey. He's got this weird Austrian accent.
He's Polish, I believe.
Is he Polish?
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But he sounds like he's going to say, "Where the cat is in the tree."
Yeah.
Where did I leave my newspaper?
We have lost the power of the Rosetta Stone.
But he's like, "Oh, it's a Type 40 TARDIS."
Yeah, which
don't
they
see
all
many of those.
It's all disdain, isn't it? So that rusty bucket.
I want to see the new TARDISes.
What makes them so great?
Yeah, what are they? Are they like BT phone boxes?
Also, if the whole thing about the Time Lords is they don't interfere with other races, why do they have TARDISes?
Yes.
What are they doing with them? Where do they go? Because they don't like mentioning other races or anything. So
why have they built the one thing that they're so against?
Exactly.
Exactly.
I suppose it's like the nuclear arms race. It's like, well, we've got to have time travel if everybody else has.
Mm.
Yes, that's true. Yeah,
it's a sort of never-ending story of destruction. The Castellan's like, well, we need to arrest this person.
Mm-hmm.
And then my favourite person in the whole world turns up, Engin.
Engin.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Is there anything I can do?
Oh, no, he's brilliant. No. He's like Edna Mode.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, he could, yeah. If those two got together, it would be so cool.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying this doggy fashion?
Yeah.
No, not really.
What I really like about the Gallifreyan guards, because they immediately surround the TARDIS, is they're told to set their stasers.
Yes.
Yes.
Which are obviously like a cross between a stairlift and a laser. Stasis.
Sorry. So the Doctor starts writing a letter.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Dear BBC.
Dear points of view.
I would like more money.
now that I don't have any assistants or companions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, apparently, Tom was very happy about this. Apparently he wanted to do this for ages, just have an episode by himself.
Oh, I can imagine. Mm. I can imagine.
Mm. And he said to the producer at the time, oh, it's great, I can just talk to myself all the time. And he said, no one's going to want to see that. And you know what? I didn't like it that he's just muttering away to himself all the way through it. It's quite annoying.
When you've come from, like, when it's been the Baker Sarah Jane Smith era, which is, like, obviously for many people, their absolute touchstone for what Doctor Who is and what it should be.
Yeah.
The idea that then you're just happy just to have Tom Baker kind of monologuing to himself and going, oh, I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I just don't, you need, no, you can't replace, you know, Elizabeth Sladen with nothing. That is.
But I think this is definitely Tom Baker who's at the stage where he's like, I am just the star of this show. I am Doctor Who.
Yes.
There's not really been any Doctors before me as far as I'm concerned. I am who people adore me. They're going to love it to be just a one-man
monologue. He made titties tingle.
Yes, yes. Her breasts would tingle.
Oh, yes, of course.
My favourite story.
Yeah.
I knew it was you because I felt my titties tingle.
Oh, God.
I want that on my gravestone. Tom Baker, he made titties tingle.
Oh. Said, perhaps you've got grandchildren. Oh, yes, he said, you're a man from Doctor Who. Good God, he said, yes. As soon as I saw you, I knew you were special because my titties began to tingle. And I thought, isn't that marvellous? You know, my mother, who was a lovely, a wonder, could never have said a phrase like that. And I thought perhaps on my gravestone here lies Tom Baker, who made titties tingle.
No.
So what he does is he does a kind of fake out. He walks past them, I think.
Yes.
I'm a bit vague on this episode, lads, because I've got quite bored in it. He's
But not only after writing a letter and slipping out, he fools the guards who storm the TARDIS via the old hookah pipe ruse.
Yes.
Mm,
the classic Gallifreyan misdirection.
Yeah.
Tom has been smoking.
Yeah.
So he slips away.
Yeah.
And he sneaks into the ceremony at the Panopticon.
Yeah.
Yes.
He steals someone's robes, which is a quite nice scene.
Brilliant.
That is quite fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you've got the Time Lords changing and he's handing them their costumes.
It reminded me of that Python sketch with the judges. You wouldn't believe the day I had in court.
Yeah. And also, those old Gallifreyan duffers, they mentioned, now, whoever wrote this, I don't know whether they thought it was dreadfully funny to put this in, because it really stuck in my craw. They talk about the Celestial Investigation Agency. Oh, yes, the CIA.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, that's so annoying.
On. Yeah, that's very clunky, isn't it?
Did you really think that was a big guffaw chortle for fans? Oh, it wasn't. It was so horrible.
Also, I meant to say, there was a guard who was following the Doctor and he gets shot by someone dressed as a monk.
Yes.
Yes. Very important, that.
Very important.
Mm.
Yeah. So the Doctor... Oh, also, by the way, before he sneaks out, he watches the news.
I was going to say, there's a lot of episode 1 and 2, which is basically the Gallifreyan version of the BBC covering a live event. It's amazing. And
it's
now
runcible,
we go to Gallifreyan correspondent Nicholas Witchell. Nick, what can you see? Well, the Gallifreyan lords there, looking resplendent in their robes.
Yeah, runcible.
Walking across the dais.
Runcible. It's amazing. He's very Nicholas Witchell, actually. He's very toady and creepy.
Yeah. Yes.
So he does sneak out, and then he goes into the Panopticon, and he finds the gun right by a camera.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then he makes the very appalling poor decision of picking it up and pointing it and looking through the scope.
Yeah.
As someone else shoots the president.
And then maybe shooting it, we don't know.
Yeah.
Because today is the presidential resignation day.
Yeah, so this is like a sort of JFK assassination story now. Yeah. It's like, what the hell?
So isn't it based on the
grassy knoll?
Is it based on the Manchurian Candidate, is what I read. It's like meant to be a version of the Manchurian Candidate.
That's right, yeah.
Yes.
But, I mean, it's not as, I'll go as far as say, it's not as good as the Manchurian Candidate.
No, it's not.
It's just not quite
it's more like
as
the Mancunian...
Mancunian...
Spangle net.
Yeah. Take that, deadly assassin.
Finally, someone's had the gumption. Someone's got the balls to say it, and it's John. More like the Mancurian spangle net. Jesus Christ.
So, yeah, he makes the fatal error of looking almost exactly like you're killing the president.
Yeah.
But also, this whole ceremony looks like it's some really old, like, really mad old man sort of homosexual version of Miss World.
Yes.
Here he is. Miss Gallifrey 2842. It's a tiny little round dais that looks like a trip hazard as well, because it's on a weird angle.
Again,
they're all just jostling around in these ridiculous
costumes. It's a bit
eyes wide
shut as well.
It is really weird. It looks like there's a sex party that's about to happen.
Oh, but the doctor, before he... Sorry, I'm all out of order with this. But before the doctor does get framed for shooting him, he bumps into Runcible.
He does, yes.
And
does.
Runcible says, "You look different." And he says, "Yes, I've had several facelifts."
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed that.
That's true.
That was fun.
And meanwhile, the old TARDIS is being transducted, as they call it. And this is lovely, into a museum with all the other outdated pieces of tat.
That's
which
a lot
brilliant.
Of fun.
I like, yeah. That's the only bit I really like. Mm-hmm. Take that old pile of keck and put it in the museum. People can have a little look at it.
So the doctor is then, they say a trial must begin because the president is dead.
100%
dead. And then he wants to torture the doctor, and that's my favourite bit. They said, "Do you confess?" He says, "Yes, I confess. You're a bigger idiot than I thought you were."
Which is a lot of fun, isn't it?
Like very, very Tom. Yeah. Very nice and Tom.
He says he's been framed, and that he came back to try and save the president's life, and explains about his premonition.
Yes.
He actually explains he wanted to be on You've Been Framed, and that's why he was using some camcorder footage, hoping that one of the Time Lords would fall over on the dais and he'd make 200 quid.
So at this point, the Castellan starts to believe him, and he orders anything to assist him.
He takes to the Doctor's side quite quickly, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Which is great. It's really nice.
And he wants Engin, who's my favourite again, to assist him in an independent investigation.
Ivor the Engin, yeah.
We also get the Doctor drawing pictures during the trial.
He does little caricatures, doesn't he? Like he's in Covent Garden.
Yeah. I was thinking, a bit like you, Tom, you'd do that, wouldn't
you? I'd do some,
If you were under trial for murdering the president.
That's all I'd be doing. Yeah.
All I'm saying, Tom, is that, Tom, if you could be bothered during lockdown to commit some horrific crime... If you could, and then you can be locked down under house arrest and you can come up with a lovely little picture of a fucking Vervoid for
us. Please,
if
would you mind?
If you could be bothered, please.
I'll do that now. I'll take requests from any podcast listeners of what you want me to sketch Tom Baker style.
You know, I think you should get arrested for shoplifting and then you can spend your 24 hours in a jail cell giving us a really nice picture of Turlough spanking Syl.
If we ever caught up in a Mancunian spangle net.
Yeah, as is very common.
Yeah.
But now on BBC One, Mancunian spangle net. We don't know what it is.
In terms of like framing someone
good
as
luck.
Well.
Yeah.
Like, but the Doctor's so easy to frame. The Doctor's literally picked up the gun and pointed it at the president.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, very bizarre.
He should have said,
I'm not shooting him. Yeah, he should have immediately come in, hands in the air, and going, "I saw a vision of me doing something, and clearly you can see me not doing it." But what he does is he appears and he gets on with his own vision.
But to delay his execution, he invokes Article 17 and announces that he will run for president.
Yeah. Which is basically
guarantees
the situation.
Liberty.
Yeah,
we're in this situation at the minute, right? We've got, you know, when a president just doesn't want to get arrested or get executed, they go, "Oh, I'm the president, so that then I can't do anything." It's actually very timely. I think we can all agree.
Yeah. I think weirdly, if we are talking in that sort of direction, our current political climate, I genuinely think that our government and American government might be Slitheen. I think has happened. I think what they did with Tennant is they went, "We're going to give you a little taste of what's actually coming your way, everyone."
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the Slitheen are actually in control.
Mm.
So
Boris Johnson always looks like he's about to let out a massive fart at any point. In his hair all puff up, and he'll just go, good for London, good for London.
So during the investigation, they find out that the sights on the gun were broken, just like Lee Harvey Oswald's, everybody.
Yes.
Interesting. Yes.
They check the camera, and inside, there's an action man wearing a suit.
Which is immediately your first, it's the master then.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the master. Okay.
Oh, it's the master.
The master. Yeah. Who's the master talking to? Oh, the guy who sounds like Goth. Okay, yeah. Right. That's all that's sorted out.
So that's the master done. Brilliant.
And Runcible faints.
Yeah, so that's a bit cartoony, isn't it? That's fun, some of that, but we're just a bit like, yeah, he overdoes it.
But like you just said, the doctor then knows it's the master.
Yeah.
And then Runcible's killed.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember how.
Does Runcible die?
Yeah.
Runcible's, I genuinely miss that.
God, I hope so. I've written so the master...
Well, no, he's just dispatched. I don't know if he's dead. It's one of those hi-yas and then you fall over in Doctor Who a lot. You've been slightly touched too strongly on your shoulder, so you fall into a crumpled heap.
Mm. Yeah.
So you might be dead, you might not be dead.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I would also say Runcible has a great theme revelation of the Daleks. He's really good in that as well.
Mm.
And I think actually, did he play? Oh no, that's someone else. He played William Shakespeare in The Chase, which we've also done.
Oh yeah,
yes, of course, yeah.
So he's back again.
We must talk about towards the end of episode one where we finally get we know it's the Master, and of course we're probably expecting the Master. What we get is truly terrifying for a 3-year-old who watched it at the time.
Yeah. Okay. Awful. Yeah. What would be scarier? Would you have preferred they'd use the
villain reveal?
The actual corpse of Roger Delgado. Is that the...
Is this why the master is a skeleton in this? Is because Roger Delgado is dead?
Yes. I mean, it's poor taste, I'd say, just to go, the actor's dead, so now the master's a skeleton.
So, but when did Anthony Ainslie start being the master?
He started in The Keeper of Traken.
Oh, of course.
So he's Mrs. Dad, and then his body gets taken over.
That's
from,
right.
Yes.
Of
yeah. Yes. So but in the middle, we get two. Yeah.
It's the no eyelids that just. It's the no eyelids.
He
no
looks one, like.
I'd be grumpy if I couldn't blink.
He looks like Clitus in Flash Gordon when he gets killed.
Yeah. Ooh, it just looks. No wonder he's got a cob on all the time.
Yeah.
If all your skin's flayed off and you can't blink, there must be dust in there all the time.
Oh, God, imagine.
Irritating. Yeah, I'd imagine he's got his shrinking gun in one hand and in the other he's got some eye drops. Give me a sec. Oh, that's better. Sweet relief. Oh, thank you. I wish I could blink.
Treat yourself to a nice gown. If you look that bad, you can't blink. Treat yourself to a nice robe. You don't have to wear a scabby old robe.
No,
I don't know why he's wearing a hair shirt there, if you ask me.
And he is on Gallifrey, and that place is festooned with beautiful robes and wonderful costumes. Yeah, you can't just treat yourself a bit. You've been through the mill.
Mm-hmm.
Also, maybe try nice those wicker pants Skeletor wears.
Yeah.
He loves them.
Yeah.
Get yourself a nice sash. Get yourself a nice mask, because people don't want to see that off the bat.
No.
Frightening. Good God. Looks like someone's vomited on a pizza. But there you go. That's the master for you.
There he is.
But the doctor's figured out that it was the master who sent him the premonition.
Yes. Right. Yes.
And he decides to enter the Matrix.
Whoa.
To track the master. And so he wakes up in a quarry. With a crocodile.
Yes. With a crocodile.
And is pushed off a cliff by a samurai. And then he gets stuck on a train line.
This is just amazing, isn't it? It's just
things happening. There's no plot. It's just a series of events that are not connected in any way.
You're supposed to be one of the most evil Time Lord's minds that can conjure up anything.
Yeah.
So he takes him to a toy train museum.
Yeah.
He shows him a crocodile.
Yeah.
He's as much as like, they fucking scare me, I tell you.
No, there's a clown in a mirror.
Clown in a mirror.
Yeah.
To the point where the doctor has to say, I deny this reality. Which is what he used to say when he was given his contract.
Because that so is a far, classic. So far up until this, there's such a change in tone now. It's up until this point, it's all mumbly, stumbly, old Gallifreyan red tape. There's so much techno babble in episodes 1 and 2, which I kind of love because it's all, ooh, that's all madness. Mm. And then suddenly it becomes like a 1920s black and white toy steam fair. Weird. All the Master's ways of terrorising the Doctor are just pathetic and boring.
Like you say, it becomes so... For a story that kind of starts with this, we want to do a complex assassination plot.
Yeah.
We then get this totally bloated, unstructured fantasy dream thing that becomes like the deadliest prey, you know, with the man hunting man. It's just quite boring.
And this goes on. It's two episodes of this, of the Doctor running around with various things attempting to drive him mad or scare him or kill him. They're all just like very Victorian carny tricks, and it's all crap. It's just do something proper. Just do something really terrible. But no, it's... I'm going to tie you onto the train like some maiden in distress in a Western.
Yeah.
Twirl moustache.
I
mean, he even gets hunted by like a big game hunter at one point. It's just, why?
Well, I would say, as someone who grew up in the 90s and used to go to indie clubs, it was always boring when there was a goth involved.
Right? I mean, there's even a bit that's supposed to scare him and he sees a clown in a puddle.
Mm.
Clowns are scary.
Oh, dearie me.
I would argue
and then
that,
he gets attacked by Biggles at one point. Oh, my God.
It's just really dumb.
It doesn't help that Bernard Horsfall has been in... So, Bernard Horsfall has been the main character in a lot of Doctor Who stories. Mm. So, he's very recognisable. And then when it's, like, all the way through and he's whispering to the Master and when he's in disguise, he's like, I know Bernard Horsfall, that's what he sounds like. That's it's guy from the War Games and the Mind Robber and Planet of the Daleks. It's that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole weird sort of two bleeding into all of three. Basically, I wrote down, this has now become Rambo First Blood, but it's all it's all been filmed in the Blue Peter Garden.
It's so dull.
Low rent, low key. It's supposed to be really exciting, though, isn't it? Because you've got, but it's just not. It's there's a bit where the Crocodile Dundee who's hunting him puts a grenade in a tree.
Mm. Yeah.
The doctor
does that. Yeah. Crocodile Dundee, meanwhile, to kill the doctor, is pouring some Tixie Licks into a stream.
Yeah.
It's what? In case the doctor has to go and have a drink, he might not.
Well, he nearly does, doesn't he? He puts his hand in the water.
He nearly does.
That doesn't smell right.
Then he sees all the dead fish. And
there's loads of weird contingency traps that I'll put a spider in some toilet paper in case the doctor suddenly needs to go for a shit. now I'll put some teeth in a letterbox in case the doctor decides he might want to post a letter.
I'll put cling film over the bowl.
It's just all these weird, pathetic, non-lethal things that...
a bucket of water over the door.
Exactly.
All the classics.
Yeah. I'm going to run at you with a bucket in the ceiling. Yeah.
I'm going to run at you with a bucket full of what you think is acid, but I'm actually Freddy Starr and it's full of confetti. It's just that sort of like. Oh,
I'm going to hide fart machines up trees.
That wasn't me. That wasn't me.
And then. That was me.
But thanks, talking Tom. Of which, the doctor does hide up a tree.
He does.
Well, what he does is, first of all, he hides inside of spider's web.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because the spider comes out and you think, oh, is that going to be... No, that's just there.
He's just hiding there. I think Tom must have loved it. I think that he gets to be like... He gets to have a fist fight in a river.
To, he gets to be Pertwee for the first time.
Yeah, he really does.
He gets to be Action Doctor.
Mm. And I think he loved it.
Because there are loads of tracking shots of him just running down screes and bits of whatever. It does look like, and there's bits where he's running through loads of what look like quite... It does look like he maybe picked up a few cuts and bruises during.
There's an unfortunate shot where it looks like he's come. I kind of get the shot close up of him going, ah! It's a bit unfortunate.
That was probably a ploy. I'd imagine there was a jazz mag put near the river. So Tom, that's the only trap that Tom fell for.
Goody, goody.
Was the original parts 2 and 3? They were like very scripted and very kind of thing. And then just like Tom got onto the booze at lunch, and then they just disappeared off into a quarry, and they just had to film whatever happens.
Film me doing press ups.
if that's what you want to do. He's had a skinful.
Why is he on a gurney and there's a doctor on him? Don't ask. Don't ask. Just film it.
Oh, God. But then we find out that Goth is the person who's tracking him.
What a shock, eh?
And he gets set fire to at one point.
Yes, yeah, he sets himself on fire via marsh gas.
That's right.
Yeah.
Marsh gas.
Oh, God. So he then...
Well, there's a big fight now.
Yeah, there's a big fight.
And basically, Goth is going to drown the Doctor.
Yes. And that's the cliffhanger.
That's the cliffhanger.
And of course, yeah. Has everyone seen the documentary, or, you know, the various clips of Mary Whitehouse going, I can see it still in my mind's eye. Doctor Who drowning. Mm. And that was the image that was in a child's brain the whole week.
I was so disgusted. I got up off the puffet and my love eggs fell out. Rolled across the carpet, vibrating in front of the vicar.
Imagine my shock.
What a dickhead that woman was.
She was just horrible.
I let loose over 4 years' worth of farts when I did. And I was found in the loft, me knickers askew, and me dignity all over the shop.
Oh my God!
Did she really get annoyed by the drowning?
Yeah, no, she complained heavily about it. Yeah.
She was fine with the train going over him and.
Oh, the stuff that she was all right with is bizarre. But yeah, she was really worried about the doctor. She calls him Doctor Who as well, which is going to annoy any Doctor Who fan.
Oh no, that's like when people refer to Spock as Doctor Spock, and I have to really rein it back.
Yeah.
It's Mr. Spock.
And that particular clip, I've seen that a lot. It's in the 30 Years in the TARDIS documentary as well, which is a real treat. Mm. And yet it's her going, Doctor Who, drowning. And looking like the Master, actually. In that clip, she looks a lot like the Master does.
Amazing.
Drowning.
Oh, my God. In the trial of the Time Lord, she'd be one of the key witnesses, wouldn't she? On and on.
My name's Jason Fleming. The More Than My Past podcast will see me talking to a wide range of inspiring people. People who have confronted and overcome addiction or imprisonment or both and turned their lives around.
I did mad things that was hurting myself and hurting other people.
Everybody grows up in a house called normal. Heroin addiction and chaos was my normal.
Some people don't understand the word moderation, and I was definitely one of those people.
The More Than My Past podcast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Great. Drowning.
So he gets out of the Matrix...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by waking up,
and he figures out that Goth went along with the Master because he knew the President had no intention of naming him as the new President.
Yeah, he does have a lovely joke though when he wakes up and he just goes, "This is a non-smoking compartment."
Mm. That's fun.
That's fun.
Yeah,
just talking gobbledygook.
Yeah, and then if I'm realizing this right, I'm trying to make sense of my notes.
We get the actual bit of plot because we find out that the Master has run out of his regenerations.
Yes.
We're told that. And then there's the bit where the Master sends a guard to do his duty, and his duty is to just twist a knob. Even this guard doesn't manage to do it. He just gets shot immediately. That's quite fun.
Yeah. So if a new election was held, Goth would be the front runner.
Yes.
Then he dies.
Yes.
And he says that the Master has a doomsday plan.
Mm. Mm.
So the Doctor has a little think, and then he asks what the coming of the President entails.
Mm.
And they tell him that the president has access to the symbols of office, the sash and the great key of Rassilon.
Rassilon.
Yay!
Rassilon again. Brilliant. No, I like that, though. It's all folding back and forth towards one source. It's really nice.
And does this when he realises the master's injected himself?
Yes, the master isn't dead. He's used a neural inhibitor.
That's right, yeah, because they find him dead, don't they? That's
yes, mm-hmm. yeah, they yeah. think he's dead, yeah. but he's used a neural inhibitor. So basically he's just holding his breath.
Yeah.
And obviously he's not, and one thing he's not doing is blinking, so he looks really dead.
Yeah.
That's the one skill he has.
It's the one skill he can do.
Yeah.
So then he wakes up at the morgue and he kills someone, doesn't he?
That's quite good, he shoots
one of the guards, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Because the master really wants to get the sash of Rassilon because he wants to be Mrs. Congeniality.
Yeah.
They really spoiled that moment, though, because the guard comes into the morgue but before the guard comes in you see the master look up and have a look around, then he lies back down again, then the guard comes in master like grabs him and you're like, oh, it would have been great if the master had just played dead right up until the last minute and then grabs him.
Yes.
But they didn't.
No. Because the master stands up and then he immediately shoots the doctor, but thank God for Dr. Oetker, who jumps in front. And you're like, oh,
he does.
But don't, it's all right, everyone. They're just stunned.
They just stunned.
Which, again, I don't understand why the master stunned them. Kill them.
Yeah, I do not. Let's I don't
kill
get that
them.
At all.
You had
just
the perfect chance. You had the perfect chance there. But no, I'll stun them.
Mm. So the doctor and Engin and...
Dr. Oetker.
Dr. Oetker.
Yeah.
They go to the morgue and the master's not there.
Mm.
Yes.
And there is another action man.
There is another action man.
Yes.
Which is very exciting. And he's got eagle eyes and conquered grip. Which is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they somehow get locked in a room, don't they?
They get locked in, but then luckily all of Gallifrey is just made of sloping bits of corrugated iron.
Yes,
thank God.
So the doctor can scramble up that way.
Mm. Well, it's supposed to be an Oed Service shaft. That's what they call it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that what they're calling Tom?
Shaft.
Is that the
Service shaft? And now the master and doctor have a scrap.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's
Armageddon now.
Scrap.
It's Armageddon. Yeah. It's really pathetic, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like two children fighting over lunch money.
Yeah.
This is when the master just kind of the fight ends and he's just about like falling over.
Yes.
Because he's shoved in the staff and the Eye of Harmony and then everything's crashing to bits and the floor opens.
Mm.
Yeah, the master topples and he's clinging on with his little gloves and then he just slips to his doom.
He's gone.
Yeah, and you think, oh, well, there you go.
Not to be seen again until the keeper tracks.
Well, not to be seen again until 4 minutes later where he appears. Yeah. He appears in his own TARDIS going,
yes, of course, his grandfather
which
clock.
Is so fucking awful.
I was watching...
I didn't know that the Doctor could do that with his TARDIS. He could project his own face onto the side of it. Because there could have been so many brilliant episodes
imagine
Pert with your Troughton on the front.
Like, especially Pertwee doing loads of gurning on the front of the TARDIS.
Exactly. Pertwee gurning in front of the TARDIS.
Am I right in thinking that the Master's first TARDIS in... what episode is it? The one where the dolls come to life.
Terror of the Autons.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Am I right in thinking his first TARDIS is a van?
Isn't it like a circus box or something? Like a horse box.
Horse box, that's it.
I mean, it's not very exciting, is it? No wonder they gave him a grandfather clock. You know what I mean? You know, I just got a backup. A park next to the TARDIS. Beep, 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 beep. Hang on. I've turned the steering wheel the wrong way. So I'm glad they fixed that.
Yeah,
that's rubbish.
This episode really runs out of steam and ideas really quickly.
Really fucking quick. As soon as it goes into the Matrix, I gave up caring what was happening.
Yeah, there's the briefest pathetic fight. There's not even a "I'll get you, Doctor, how dare you." Even the Master's slipping off is quite pathetic. You're gone. And then they all go, "Well done, Doctor, we all believe you now, you can leave, bye." And it just ends, and you're like, oh, and then it ends with that ridiculous Master.
Maybe the universe is not big enough for the two of them. And you're like, oh, you just
let him go. I'm Dr. Oetker, and I must carry on making my pizzas.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The dog is in the library.
The shifts in tone in between episodes 1 to 4, there's like 4 massive shifts in tone, and they just none of them work.
No. It's just really fucking, honestly, I found this such a struggle.
Really?
It really bored me.
It is a fucking chore, isn't it?
Yeah.
Even with all the Gallifreyans with their shiny faces.
I mean, like I say, I was enjoying those bits, but as soon as he goes into the Matrix, which is what, 2 episodes?
If they cut the Matrix idea
and they just had, oh, it's the Master, we need to find him, and then they could have gone underneath Gallifrey and you could have all sorts of fun going on there.
Because I've seen
monsters, creatures, all sorts of aliens, whatever you want to do. You don't have to have this, I'm going inside the Master for a fight and it's got zero peril and it goes on for too long and it's just dull.
I mean, I've seen the Manchurian Candidate and at no point does anybody run around in a quarry for 4 hours?
and you've also seen the Mancunian Spangle Net.
Which does have a quarry for 4 hours.
Right.
That must have been what they mistakenly remade here.
So luckily he goes on to... he goes on to find Leela after this, which is a small mercy, because you slowly realise that actually an assistantless story is not that much fun, is it?
No, it is not.
And they really go, let's give him an assistant let's have something different. And what a brilliant choice. They go with Leela.
Mm. Yes,
and
so
she's
good.
An incredible idea for an assistant. Someone who will punch first, ask questions later. Mm. So nice to have that.
Mm.
But not yet.
No.
Yeah.
So what episode's after this?
After this we is the Face of Evil.
He's gonna meet Leela, yeah. So
yeah.
Face of Evil.
Good.
Face of Evil.
Good.
And they're all on a delicious Blu-ray. Which is really fun.
Yes, they are. I enjoyed this.
Yeah.
Right, so I'm gonna give this
what are we gonna
how many,
what this
how many
out
though? 100 what?
Plastic crocodiles.
100 plastic crocodiles.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go because like I say, I was enjoying it.
Yeah.
And then I stopped enjoying it, and for the rest of the 3 episodes I didn't enjoy any of it.
I know what you mean. It starts so promisingly. It's like, we're on Gallifrey. Oh my god, this is the first proper look at Gallifrey, and he's like seeing his old school teachers there. That's quite fun.
Yeah.
And then it just absolutely goes downhill.
Yeah. So I'm gonna give this 20 plastic crocodiles.
Whoa, that's low.
Yeah, I did not like it at all.
I think there's some fun to be had here.
Is a bit of fun.
There's a bit the Matrix stuff is difficult because it's all that stuff that Doctor Who does, which is like a dream world where every threat can be dealt with by going, it's not real, it doesn't exist, a bit like the Mindrobber. So you sort of go, oh okay, so nothing really has any jeopardy.
So actually what the Doctor should have done is just stay put, sit down and just wait it out. He didn't have to keep running around and facing other bits of non-existent peril.
Yeah.
He could have just put his fingers in his ears and gone la 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 la.
I'm gonna be slightly more generous. I'm gonna give this 35.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm gonna be right in the middle of that. I can tell already because I haven't seen it since I probably saw it as a young boy and didn't understand it. I was too young. There's so many. I love Tom's brilliantly weird, mad little quips and silly one-off one-liners that he's given.
Yeah.
I love the Master's reveal, because that's petrifying.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I love that it's on Gallifrey, and you get to see a bit of Gallifrey, and the whole thing just looks like some weird BBC live telethon Miss World contest. The idea of going inside the Master's mind is like, wow! Oh, it's bullshit.
Yeah,
it's just beige and dull and inconsequential, and then there's no, and then it goes back to episode 1 and you don't care, and it's all just and the Master escapes and then laughs like a pantomime villain inside a clock. So I'm going to give it what did you give it, John? 20. And you gave it, Tom, 35.
Yeah,
I'll give it a 29.
Ooh.
I'll meet you in the middle. Because it has got some nice little bits in, but not much.
That is, I think, almost a record low. I think even, Warriors of the Deep scored higher. I can't.
No.
But we've got 84 plastic crocodiles out of 300.
Wow. I think even Tyron the Rani got more than that.
I think so. I think it did. Do we expect more from Tom? Is that the trouble?
I think it is.
Yeah, I think it's like Robert Holmes, and we kind of expect a bit more.
I don't blame Tom for this at all, though.
Hmm.
I don't think the fault lays at Tom's door at all. I think it lays in the writing. It is this is what he has to do. Mm. Okay, I have to run around in a quarry for fucking 4 days while we film this bollocks.
He
does it.
The Tom doll, but when the samurai chops his scarf, and then you just get dummy that falls off the cliff.
Oh, that's really bad.
It's so bad, isn't it?
The only way it would have been worse if it landed on the floor and then they did that goodies thing where it then cuts to him.
Like his leg bends the wrong way.
Funny.
As it's falling.
Yeah. Proper good shit dummy work.
Yeah. Comedy dummy four, there's nothing better, is there?
We've got some correspondence. Again, Becky Mbongo says, given that the Time Lords are blatantly bitchy queens, could you pitch a soap opera set on Gallifrey?
Oh, yeah, my God.
That'd be fun. That'd be really fun.
All the political intrigue and backbiting. It's basically do Game of Thrones and just take out the dragons and the tits, and then you've got Gallifrey. And you can make it like a Howard's Way, all political intrigue and people vying for power and stabbing and killing each other. Perfect.
If this was like an American thing, they'd have done Gallifrey by now, because they keep doing TV series about really boring things from bigger... Like, Batman's got about 15 series that are really dull, like... Alfred when he's young, don't care. Here's Bruce Wayne when he's young, don't care. Krypton before Superman took off, don't care.
No,
they are literally just... It's coming out soon. They've got a series called... called Alfred, and or is it called Pennyworth?
Pennyworth.
It's all about him as a young man fighting in the war.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
This is my favourite correspondence from Ben Thomas, Summers to the Bee. The Time Lord president who gets shot is the tea shop proprietor from Withnail and I.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God, it is.
Yeah, it's the master's plan to install a fucking jukebox in the panopticon and liven those stiffs up a bit.
Mrs. That's Wilson, brilliant. Call the police immediately. Mm. Yes, oh my God.
The other thing that is worthy of note, I think, is the fact that for some reason, ceremonial Time Lords have shiny faces.
Mm.
That's one thing they've decided, is they all have this like weird shine on them that is quite disconcerting.
That's why I think they're all like Miss World contestants. It's very odd. They've got like shiny bronze toner on.
Yeah.
They're wearing beautiful, swishy, beautiful gowns, boys. It's all very... Yeah, bless them. But at least they're not all. At least they're not bureaucratic red tape at this stage. They're more just boys having fun.
Exactly. Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, we can go into like real. I think the real dearth of Gallifrey is when we get into like Invasion of Time.
Yes,
that's pretty ropey in terms of portrayals of Gallifrey, I think. And then also Trial of a Time Lord. But we'll come on to those another time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess at some point, if we were feeling really bored, we could do the entire Trial of a Time Lord as a.
Oh my God!
It's three episodes. How many episodes is it?
Oh, three stories.
Three stories.
Three stories. Yeah.
So we could do the whole Trial of a Time Lord, is it?
We could do.
No, that's true.
Yeah,
but we're not.
We're not going to do that. No.
Well, there you are. Thank you, folks. I'm going to. I've got this wonderful little model train that I'd like you both to lay in front of.
Sure.
So if you don't, that's it. Yeah, that's what I want. And I'm going to. Charge at you and fast forward while I desperately put
I can't get the image of Doctor Who being run over by a train out of my mind. A sped up train.
My husband and I were settling down to chase the dragon. And imagine my surprise, my husband, a train enthusiast, he literally shat onto the formica table when he saw the misuse of public transport being used to decapitate a Time Lord. I was so upset I put down my knitted dildo and went outside into the garden to piss on the gooseberries.
Sorry.
So there we go. That was the Deadly Assassin. Followers at Wheezing Pod.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be back.
Yes,
we will.
With better stories, I think.
Yeah, we'll have a think. And maybe send requests as well. Maybe that might be a fun thing. If you send requests,
and also
to our Weezing Pod.
Not only send requests, but send the person that you would like to do the homework as well. Because that's right. That'd be interesting. Because you might just stumble on one of us having to do something that we truly abhor.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's really fun. Try and That'd mismatch or something. Try and really, really screw us over with these. It could be quite funny.
Except if you say me and Twin Dilemma, I refuse.
And also
I'll do Twin Dilemma.
Me and the War Games. I don't want to spend five days.
No. That's the thing. It's like, let's. When you say something like, I'll do War Games, part of me thinks, oh, that's good, I wouldn't have to watch it. And then I realise, oh, no, I would fucking have to watch it.
So, please
don't ask Tom to do War Games.
Yeah.
Don't ask me to do Twin Dilemma.
No. Yeah. Don't ask me to do Deadly Assassin.
Yeah. We've already done it.
Yeah. Right, we'll see you next time.
Yes.
We'll keep on wheezing and groaning.
Keep on the wheezing and the groaning.
Yeah. I'm going to get outside and start wheezing and groaning, boys.
I'm heading over to the hot chaparral.
You're finished, Doctor. You're finished.
I am. Goodbye.
Bye.
If you're a fan of all things geeky, you're going to love Concessions, a brand new podcast by comedian Matt Hinton and myself, Beck Hill, where we interview your favourite cult heroes at Comic-Cons all across the world. We've got stars from Star Wars, Harry Potter, The Walking Dead and more. Make sure you tune in soon to Concessions.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.